Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We'll take your Mets and Yankees calls as the combined losing streak reaches to 11-888-808-1019. But just heard Boomer's Sports Minute on the Lakers being sold in what was a surprise, as the Buss family is now selling their majority stake in the Lakers to Mark Walter, who is the head of the investment group that also owns the Dodgers. And the number is staggering. It is $10 billion.
And it does not include Crypto.com Center. That's the old Staples Center.
Right.
That is now Crypto.com Center. It doesn't include that. It only includes a majority stake in the Dodgers, the Lakers, which is mind-blowing to me. You know, when the Celtics were sold for $6.1 billion, it did not include the Garden up there, or TD, whatever they call it, TD Bank Garden. It didn't include that. So now, let's just say for a second, Jim Dolan sees this, and let's say Jim Dolan wants to sell. Remember, he sold Cablevision at its highest point.
Mm-hmm.
I think he sold it for close to $1 billion, maybe $800 million. I mean, this would be the time to do it, especially because not only does he have the Knicks, the Rangers, but he also controls and owns MSG. Now, MSG and the state of New York and, of course, the city of New York City are trying to figure out a way to build a new Pennsylvania train station. And Donald Trump's all aboard on that. And he wants to be a part of that. And that would mean that they would have to move Madison Square Garden. And there's just a lot of angst and stress around, you know, the tax abatements that are associated with the Garden. Where would they move the Garden? I mean, like, there's all these different plans out there. And I would just think that if you're Jim Dolan and you're sitting there and you're looking at this and you're saying to yourself, man, the Celtics won for 6.1. The Lakers just won for 10 without the buildings. How much are the Rangers and the Knicks and the building? And he also, of course, owns and runs a Radio City Music Hall. And I know he's building, I think, another sphere either in Abu Dhabi or somewhere, United Arab Emirates, I'm not sure. But, I mean, I can't imagine how much this would go for.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you start at double that number for the Dodgers. You start there and then probably go up from there if you're talking about multiple buildings and Radio City Music Hall
and
included.
The network.
Yeah, so I mean, there's a lot going on there. I don't see Jim Dolan selling. I think Jim Dolan loves being the owner. He hates when people say sell the team. He is a prideful guy. I know that money drives every decision. I just think that he sees this. He's interested, but I really don't see him selling. Now, I thought more of the Steinbrenner family when I saw this yesterday, more than Jim Dolan, because I feel like Jim Dolan's going to hold on to that thing like his baby for the rest of his life, and he's allowed to do that. But the Steinbrenner family, you know, is not like a guy like Mark Walter. You know, they're a wealthy family. There's no doubt about it. But there are people out there like Steve Cohen, like Mark Walter, who could come in and buy the Yankees from the Steinbrenners at this point in their life, and they could cash out in a massive, massive way. Now, how much would that franchise be worth? And that would have to include the building as well. I mean, are we talking 10 to 15?
I mean, just the real estate alone, man. I'm just telling you, you know, the whole want to redo Penn Station and to create it as a transportation hub that is like second to none in the world. There's a lot of that driving, I think, you know, the move of Madison Square Garden.
Yeah. Sure, but
remember, Jim Dolan put $2 billion back into the Garden himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's got to be tempting for sure, especially with a couple of franchises. You know, and I wonder how much the Yankees ownership and the Steinbrenners look at this and say, maybe this is the time. Maybe You know, they don't love going over the luxury tax. You know, Hal is not someone who likes to be in the spotlight like his dad was.
Oh, God, I'll tell you.
We're talking about a selling at the highest point situation.
Cuban got out. Snyder got out. Now Jeannie Buss is getting out. I know Snyder was kind of forced out, but still, he got out.
Yeah.
And they sold for $6.5 billion, and they have a crappy stadium situation.
We're missing one, aren't we? There's another one, I felt like.
The Celtics.
Yeah. Yes.
Celtics got out. The Lakers got out. The Mavericks, he divested, and so did Dan Snyder. Yeah. I'm sure that and now the Tampa Bay Rays are up for sale.
Mm. Yeah. Broncos was another one.
Broncos is another one. The Walton family bought them.
Right.
Now, I'm assuming that, I don't know who owns that stadium. I don't know if that's privately held or if it's some sort of publicly partnership with the ownership there. I'm not sure, but all I know is that the Knicks, Rangers, and the Garden.
Yeah.
I don't know what that number would be. I really don't. And that's he's one of the most powerful owners in all of sports.
Yeah, and I know that he loves being that. I mean, as you see him leaving the Garden during the Knicks playoff run and sending the basketballs out the window of the SUVs to kids. I mean, he loves every bit of it. So, you know, he may be able to sell at his highest point, but also, I mean, maybe this isn't the highest point. You know, maybe it just continues to grow and grow and grow. It hasn't seemed to stop.
Just as it, I don't know, the numbers, obviously this group that has decided to spend this much money on that team obviously has a business plan to make sure that they recoup their interest and their investment. But, man, I just, it's shocking, you know, when you see that number.
Yeah, and we were just talking, it's funny because this came out of nowhere, this sale, but we were just talking yesterday about deferments in NBA contracts and if you were able to do that or not. And now that was a big topic yesterday because after this sale, because obviously the Dodgers have done more deferments than anybody. And it was like, oh, I wonder if the next Lakers signees are going to be having to defer money. But I actually don't know the cap rules with the NBA, if they get how much money.
I would think that there will be. And by the way, they're going to have to give Luka a new contract.
Oh, yeah. I mean, at this point, 100%.
And this whole thing is going to be built around him.
Yeah. That's why they traded for him. No doubt. So, if I'm Mark Walter, it's one of the first calls I'm making. It's all right, Luca, what are we doing, man? Put down that Bush Light apple and let's get going.
Yes. Been down a little bit.
All right, let's get some calls in 888-808-1019. Mark in South River. What's going on, Mark?
Hey, guys. I'm just ready to go to work real fast.
Yeah, hold on, Mark, one second, because there's something going on with the phones here. It's bizarre. It's not you, Mark. Just hang on. We're going to put you back on. Fleek's going to talk to you. Probably the second time that you come on, we'll be able to hear you. But for whatever reason, our phones are spitting out the callers in this choppy way when I first go to the calls. And it sucks. It happened to Boomer the other day. So he'll call back and we'll try again. It's definitely our phone system because it's the same damn thing. Every caller sounds the same. Mark, let's try again. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. What's up? Good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
Just wanted to work real fast. Hey, guys. Hey, listen. Besides my many frustrations with the Yankees, it was in the beginning, everything was going good. We're kind of back to where we were last year. But one thing I need to say, the Volpe project is over. He's making errors. He's caught stealing. I think he's on year four now, or year three. I think it's four.
Three, right?
Three. Is it three or four? It's not happening.
Yeah.
He's batting .235. I mean, it's Volpe is, I hate to say it, I love him as a kid. He's a bust. And he's a bust. And he frustrates me every time he's in a big spot. He strikes out, hits it to double play. He's okay defensively. He's not as good as advertised. Like, you know how you have a guy that's great defensively but can't hit, or he's not good defensively but can't hit. He's mediocre all around now, and he's a big problem on this team for me.
Yeah, he's here for his third year. This is his third year right now. He's in the middle of it, and I would think, you know, at the age of 24 that they're going to give him, you know, I don't think they'll give him next year. I think they'll give him this year to see whether or not he can figure it out, because there's no replacement at the moment.
No, there isn't. That was going to be the question I was going to ask the caller, is, you know, who is who would be next in your mind if your project is over. And by the way, Brian Cashman and the New York Yankees, along with Aaron Boone, give these guys a long time to figure it out. Go see Gary Sanchez. So if you think that Anthony Volpe is going to get pulled at any time this season, he would have to either get hurt or be so bad that he would no longer be the starting shortstop. So I don't know. We'll see at the end of this year. But my guess is that when it comes to some of these guys that they have under control, where you don't have to pay them big dollars and they're, you know, you have the arbitration years and all of those things, they're going to give those players every opportunity and maybe too many opportunities to figure it out before they cut them loose. And that's really the best example I could give. I mean, there was so many guys that they even like Joey Gallo, when they had him, they brought him back the next year. I was like, why are you doing that? There's just certain like things where either trades or homegrown guys or whatever it may be, where Brian Cashman keeps pushing, like, it'll work, almost to like a stubbornness. And maybe he does that with Volpe, or maybe he decides that he's just not the guy. But last night was this is what we're going to get today. And it's unfortunate, because this is everything that he ever dreamed of. He is, and has that opportunity. And right now it's going as bad as it's ever gone for him. And that's got to be a tough thing to climb out of.
And that was after what I would consider was a really solid start to the season.
Yeah,
he was hitting home runs just like everybody else was.
Mm-hmm.
And now the entire team is basically flat.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that was, Volpe can get going, man. I tell you, you lose Juan Soto, but you're able to get Goldschmidt and Bellinger. And, man, if Volpe can give you more offensively in year three and torpedo bat, and he was hitting the ball closer to the knob, and now you got the torpedo bat, he's going to be hitting more home runs. No, didn't work out that way.
Between he and Dominguez and some of the mistakes that they have made, I could chalk it up to youth, I guess. Well, and it was interesting. So I was watching this last night. Aaron Judge makes a catch in the outfield, and he signals two to the center fielder, two to the first baseman, to the second baseman. And the reason that they do that, and somebody was asking me, why do they always, tell you how many outs there are between players? Well, that's so nobody is not thinking, how many outs there are.
Right.
Or how many strikes there are, or where they are in the game and what is needed from them. And, base running mistakes, fielding mistakes, mistakes not knowing how many outs there are, how many strikes there are, that goes right back to the manager making sure that, he's pressing the right buttons to keep the pressure on the player. And again, I'm going to go back one more time to Aaron Glenn and the Jets. Quiet, right? We're mm-hmm. not hearing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a competitive now arena over there in Florham Park, meaning that every player is going to have to fight for their position. Because that's how he is going to break the culture that the Jets had turned into. And that this was going to be some high-flying offense because we brought in a Hall of Fame quarterback. No. We're getting back to the roots of the way that we need to build a football team. And I would just say sometimes this is why maybe Joe Girardi got fired after 10 years. Managers or coaches who end up lasting a long time sometimes don't even see it themselves when they are being taken advantage of, or don't realize that, players are not paying attention just simply because it's too easy every day. And you can't make it easy every day. You just can't. And that's hard. And by the way, I'm not saying it's easy to do that. And I'm not saying that it's easy to sit a player down and get in his grill and say, listen, this is unacceptable. But there are times where you send a guy down, like a Francisco Alvarez in this case, you got to send him down.
Yeah, I mean, he's just completely off. And unfortunately for him, he's never really looked comfortable at the plate for an extended period of time.
That's Alvarez.
Yeah, that's Alvarez, yeah.
But so, both he and Volpe swing for the fences every time.
Let's go to Matt in Florida. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, guys. Good morning. How you doing?
All right, Matty. What's happening?
I just want to make a point with that last caller. The thing is with these prospects, and the Yankees have done this, and Boomer, you mentioned it with Sanchez, they overhype the crap out of them. We were sold the bolt, with Volpe. I remember when Luis Castillo got traded from the Reds to the Mariners, and the Yankees were in the mix. When was that? A few years ago,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Volpe was the player that They won it. They wanted Volpe. If Volpe was in the deal, they were going to make the, they were going to make the trade. And the Yankees came out, and it was Cashman that said, no, we're not trading him. He's untouchable. And then, you know, you, they get called up, and as a fan, our expectations are they're the second coming. You know, this guy is going to be all world. And it's not the case. He, listen, does he have hiccups? Yes. Is he not Bobby Witt Jr.? Yes, but he's decent. He's okay. He's still young. And I have to tell you, I don't know if you guys pay attention, they're doing the same thing with this guy, George Lombardi Jr. If you look at the social media posts on him, they're taking pictures behind him. He's wearing number two. They're already comparing him to Derek Jeter. Hmm. That's the problem. They need to stop doing this and just let these guys be who they are. And then we will kill
when you
them.
Say, but hold on. But Matt, when you say they need to stop doing this, who is they?
The organization, the Yankees. They need to.
But are they? The only thing I could blame the Yankees on is, and I don't even know if it's blaming them, is when these trades come up and they say, no, a guy is untouchable, then all of a sudden you're expecting this guy to be your shortstop for 15 years. That's the only thing I can blame him on. Some of the social media post stuff, is that coming from the organization or is that coming from, you know,
Baseball America or somebody else?
Yeah.
So, but this is the thing. So, but even if you look at some of the posts about George, the young shortstop, right? We already heard about him in spring training. He's already young. Whatever. I think he's in Double A right now. I think he's in Double A. But that farm system, their Twitter account or X account rather, is posting pictures and like images and clips of him, comparing him to Derek Jeter. Like he had an overhand throw the other night. It was a great play. I saw it, but I'm like, why are we doing this? Why are we
already?
Because
they want people to come to those games, Matt. I mean, I can't. I mean, it's up to you as the fan to not get excited about it.
Well,
not you can't tell somebody to not put out content, you know, and then tell you how to handle it.
Like, you know, when you have a player that's struggling at a particular position and you got a winning team, which the Yankees do have, and you start getting closer and closer to the trade deadline, all of a sudden now all the baseball writers start writing down who are the top players in each team's minor league system. And they're all ranked. You know, so at one point in time, I'm assuming that Anthony Volpe was like the number one or number two player that was ranked by some outside service that ranks all these players. And that's probably why Brian Cashman said he was untouchable. I mean, like, well, and he gave you an honest answer. Like, this is going to be our shortstop of the future. We believe in this kid. I still believe that they still believe in him. He's 24 years old.
Yeah, I mean, and they're going to give him more opportunities because they really don't have any other options at this point. But it's really up to us as fans to digest the content a certain way. Like so then now, because a lot of these guys don't pan out, and you should know that most of these prospects don't pan out and don't become superstars, that you have to not get ahead of yourself.
You know, for me, you know, just being around, like the last prospect that really had a lot of juice behind him was Aaron Judge because of his size, because of his age, and because he was mashing the ball in the minors.
But also, it wasn't like at that time. Now, if I remember correctly, and I wish C-Mac was around, but maybe C-Low will remember this. But at the time, yes, because he was so big. But don't forget, it was those baby Yankees with Greg Bird and Gary Sanchez as well, like the three of them that were coming up,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't Judge alone. And then Judge became so much better than those guys. And remember, Sanchez was up the previous year before and was unbelievable.
Right, the second half of the season is where he really started to get Yankee fans excited because it was the only reason to watch the Yankees was because of what he was doing because they were out of the playoffs that year.
And also, even though it wasn't a homegrown player, but it was in the Chapman trade back in, I guess, 16, was Gleyber Torres. You know, and he was another one who got off to a great start. So
they also had Didi Gregorius.
Yeah, right, to replace Jeter initially, yes.
Right.
But, I mean, the hyping, and even so much, I'll never forget, like, when Pete Alonso was putting up these big numbers in AAA, and Ed Coleman was on, and he was talking, and people were asking about him, like, oh, haven't we heard more about this guy? And I think it took a long time for people to notice. Like, back in single A, double A, no one's paying attention to Pete Alonso, and then finally gets up to AAA, he's still mashing. And then he turns into the star that he has been. But, I mean, the point is that you can't get, you know, you can't get your niblets twisted over some of these prospects. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I mean? You twist and you nibble it, that's for sure.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. CeeLo is here. He's got another update for us. What's up, Chris?
All right, brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We heard the Anthony Volpe error last hour, top of the eighth. Taylor made double play ball, which he booted, allowing the Angels to take a 3-2 lead over the Yankees. Bottom eight, Yanks get the first two guys on. Trent Grisham and Aaron Judge couldn't get anything done, and even though he had homered earlier in the game, neither could Cody Bellinger.
Pitch from Bregman. Swing on a little looper down the third baseline, giving Chase Ranifo makes the catch on the warning track, and that will do it. Yankees threaten, don't score. We go top nine. It's 3-2 Angels.
Dave Sims here on the Fan, warning track in foul territory, wide of third. Didn't exactly get good wood on it. Volpe ended up striking out to end the game in the ninth, and the Yanks lose 3-2, extending their skid to six. Here's Volpe after a rough night. Got to shake it and move forward.
Every day's a new day, and we're not going to let what happened today. After it's done, you take what you can from it, good and the bad, and then tomorrow's a new day, so that's the best part of the game.
And it's a quick turnaround as well for getaway days. The Yanks try to avoid the four-game sweep at home. It's a stopper spot, as G said last hour, for Carlos Rodon, right, posed by veteran lefty Tyler Anderson. Pre-game coverage here on The Fan and the Free Odyssey app begins
at 12:25. I asked you if you liked Anthony Volpe. You said, as a person, I said, I'm asking as a baseball player.
Well, no, I didn't. I said, as a person, yes.
You're a short guy who played shortstop.
That's right.
So you could really...
I mean, not at this level, but yeah.
No, but I mean, you played the position. Correct. I mean, and you're very good at it.
Right. Wow. Hometown kid that played for Marlboro, sort of like...
Yeah. I mean, look...
Volpe and the Yankees.
I've been pulling for him from the moment that they named him the opening day starter for whatever that was, three seasons ago. Right. Yeah. But he's...
Del Barton kid... Picked in the first round. I mean, come on. It's got all the tailor-made makings
it
of
does.
Yankee shortstop.
That's the problem, though. There was so much buildup. The Yankees, as they do with many of their prospects, overhyped them. You had stories written out there about scouts saying, this guy's a stone-cold killer. Just wait. Maybe not pop off the page like an Aaron Judge because of his body.
We just talked to a caller about this. You blame the Yankees for that?
I'm not blaming them. I just think this is the latest in a long line of guys.
But is it the Yankees that are overhyping it?
Yeah, I think to some extent they do, yeah.
So you're telling me that there's people in the organization that say, pump up these prospects. But the reason I don't believe it is they're not trading them. Like, if they were pumping them up and trading them, I could understand.
Not all of them, but they'll hold on to a select few. But even other guys, they'd be like, oh, we really don't want to part with him, you know. And then they do include that maybe B-level prospect in a deal. And I've said many times, I'm not the only one that's... Name me the last prospect the Yankees traded away in a rental deal or a deal for an established player.
It has turned out to do something.
I mean, would you consider Michael King a prospect?
That's probably the best example, but they sent, what, five guys in that deal?
Yeah.
I mean, have you checked in on any of the other guys in that Juan Soto trade?
I have not. Right. I have not checked in on them.
And at least King, you said, would you consider him
There's
a prospect?
No,
he was
Crow
a young,
Armstrong.
Up-and-coming player, but he had already pitched and established himself at the
that's
big
why,
league level.
Yeah, that's why I'd asked if that's how
nope,
was in that
Pete
category.
Crow Armstrong, no.
Right.
No. There are very few examples of it over the years. So all I'm saying is, when they talk about guys, we don't want to trade him or we think highly of him, more often than not, doesn't pan out so great.
How tall are you?
5'7".
You're 7. Okay, so Anthony Volpe's bigger
than 5'11"?
He's 5'10".
5'10".
No, it's too bad you weren't here yesterday when we took that picture of a big intern. That would have been
you could have put
knee.
You right in his pocket.
It would have been like the Aaron Judge, Jose Altuve picture.
That's exactly what it would have looked like. Yeah. He's a tall drink of water.
Yeah, he looked, damn. God.
I mean, people can make Boomer look small.
Yeah, I mean, that head really is the thing, too. When you see it up close, like it's in the picture, it looks big. You see it, that is...
Yeah, I have a big head.
I mean, that head...
That big intern's got a bigger head than me.
That is wild, man.
And he gave up on his basketball playing career?
He told me some stuff off the air.
Okay.
He
He just wasn't, you know, I shouldn't share it.
Didn't like practice. Didn't
No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that at all. But he just, yeah, he had good reasons to give it up. So he's focusing on some other stuff.
Here
so good
he is for him. With us now.
Yeah, it's crazy because, you know, I didn't notice those white sneakers of yours yesterday. You never wear white sneakers.
I know, though. I don't.
Yeah, so that's strange. Oh.
I got blue sneakers.
Yeah.
How about that?
Interesting.
It's a little emasculating for you, huh, Booms?
Yeah, I don't know where they came from, but whatever.
Not the sneakers. I meant the kid towering over
Well,
him.
I was the one who named him Big Intern.
Oh,
I gave him
very
the
original.
And I said early on in the show, I said, well, we'll have Big Intern in here so we can interview him.
Big Intern.
Yeah.
Zach. So next Jack Kerouac here with his literary genius.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, what else, CeeLo?
I look forward to seeing. I've not met the...
You haven't met him yet?
No, I haven't seen him. No.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I'm here hit or miss.
I just figured you would have seen him by now.
Not come across
when he's
him.
Here, you can't miss
well, that's
him.
What I mean. Had I been here when he was here, I definitely would not have missed him. So I look forward to seeing him in the flesh. Down in Atlanta, the Mets went pretty quietly against Chris Sale in the top of the first. Bottom one, Paul Blackburn settling in to begin his night facing Ronald Acuna Jr.
First pitch. Swinging a high drive to center field. Taylor is back. He's at the track. He leaps at the wall and is gone. Leadoff home run on the first pitch by none other than Ronald Acuna Jr. He's done that his entire career.
Keith Rad, Odyssey Mets Radio. Acuna had a little pause between second and third to show off some dance moves as well. Turns out that all the Braves needed in an eventual 5-0 shutout of the Mets behind Sale, who nearly went the distance. 8 2/3 of 5-hit ball, 7 strikeouts on 116 pitches against Carlos Mendoza's club.
Yeah, no, you got to give him credit. He was on tonight, you know. You know, throughout the course of the year, you're going to be facing guys like that. And today he was on. So keep your cat.
Francisco Lindor, one of four guys in the lineup to go 0-for-4 on the night. The team's obviously struggling right now after surging to the best record in baseball. He says they'll come through it together.
We're all in this together. We continue to push each other. We play for each other. And it's not one side or the other. When we win as a team. When we lose as a team.
Try to avoid the sweep tonight. Clay Holmes posed by Spencer Strider. 7:15 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. Phillies within a game of the Mets. They beat the Marlins 4-2. Nick Castellanos back in the lineup after that one-game benching courtesy of Rob Thompson. Went 2-for-5 with a double. And the Rays are now within a game and a half of the Yankees. They dug out of an 8-0 hole to come back and stun the Orioles 12-8. That's the largest comeback in the big leagues so far this season. Out in Los Angeles, the Dodgers continue to flex against the division rival Padres.
Now the 0-2 pitch. Smith pushes a fly ball right center field. Tatis on the run at the warning track. At the wall. It is gone! It's gone! And this game is over!
That's Dodgers Radio. Looked like Tatis might have a chance to rob that and pull it back, but turned out to be a pinch-hit walk-off homer for Will Smith. Send the Dodgers past the Pods 4-3 as LA sweeps the series, and they've taken 5 out of 6 from San Diego so far this season. I'm going to take you to Omaha College World Series. Arkansas takes a 5-3 lead over LSU to the bottom of the ninth. First and second, one out. We talk about defense and shortstop. So you get a ground ball to the shortstop. Kid went to his right a little bit, but he decided to take the force play at third rather than try for the game-ending double play. So still first and second, Arkansas with the two-run lead, one out away from extending their season.
This ball is hooked to left field and a bad read. It goes off of the left fielder's head, Davalon. Both runs are going to come in, and we are tied again. Oh, my goodness. He slipped, and it looked like it went right off of his body.
His shoulder, to be exact. Carl Ravitch on ESPN. And moments later, LSU completed the comeback with a line drive single off the outstretched glove of the second baseman. They win the game 6-5, advancing to the best-of-3 final against Coastal Carolina. The left fielder for Arkansas was in tears coming off the field. His teammates were hugging him and consoling him. So just a rough spot to be in there.
Did he slip?
Yeah, he slipped. He fell, and then the ball, I guess he lost, you know, sight of it as his body was bouncing all over the place and hit off his shoulder, deflected down into the corner.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Do we know where he, like, is he going to be able to play next year? Or is this
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But if that was the final game of his college career, that's a...
It's like Dev Anley or something.
He took, like, a little weird step, started to go down, and, yeah. Bad scene. But they had other opportunities. It wasn't like that play ended it.
Oh, he's a freshman. So okay. He's got more.
Maybe that's actually, why he was a little more emotional.
Sophomore.
Okay.
2024 was a freshman, which is what this article is. So, yeah. So he'll have another opportunity to go out there and not have that be the last play that he remembers for the rest of his life.
That's good for him, but I'm sure he feels feels for the guys. Who
I mean, just
did
watching the video, man, and just seeing how that kid misjudged that whole thing.
Yeah.
He's 5'9".
Blame it on the height. Now, they needed to win twice. So had they beaten LSU last night, they would have had to beat them again, I think, today in order to advance to the final, but obviously not the way you want to close the game. NBA Finals Game 6, the Thunder going for the closeout of the Pacers tonight in Indiana.
Damn.
College World Series or the NBA?
The NBA.
Yeah, well, they keep taking a million days off between games. So.
Yeah, well, the College World Series goes on forever, too. I mean, it's longer than the college March Madness.
Yeah.
I feel like, anyway.
Super regionals, then you get to Omaha, and then there's a...
Feels like the Knicks got eliminated 7 months ago.
Yeah, it does. Status of Tyrese Haliburton up in the air for tonight with the right calf strain. Not a great sign when Rick Carlisle revealed this on Wednesday.
There's going to be a lot of questions about it, but we will not really know for sure until late tomorrow afternoon or early evening.
And you got to tip off shortly. All right,
here's the thing about calf strains. What comes next?
The Achilles.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
If he tries to play, he'll do it because, you know, it's do or die situation. Maybe he'll throw up some threes. But, you know, he's got to be thinking about his career, too. They got to be thinking about his career.
Mm-hmm.
Calf strain, Achilles. Calf strain, Achilles. I'm telling you.
Careful. You have a tendency to speak things into existence here, so...
It's only because of experience where we've seen before. It's not like Boomer's rooting for a torn Achilles.
No, I'm not rooting for anything like that. I'm saying that I can't imagine him playing. You know, and I know that, you know, the hockey players are different. Everybody talks about this, but this is a real thing in professional sports with these athletes.
Kevin Durant. Aaron Rodgers.
Calf strain, boom, Achilles. Calf strain, Achilles. It seems like one comes right after the other, and I don't know. I would be surprised to see him playing.
Not like the hockey players with Matthew Tkachuk playing with a adductor ripped off the bone of his groin, or Sasha Barkov playing with his hand ripped open. They tried the stitches twice. They had to glue it together. The guy's shutting down McDavid there in the cup.
Hang on. I got a sports minute coming.
Okay. My bad.
Right.
See what's going on with Ace Bailey, by the way?
Yeah, he's not working out for anybody.
Nobody. He's like
Why?
The only
what is
guy.
He doing? What is he
well,
doing?
There could be a team that told him we're 100% picking you, so you don't have to worry about it. Don't hurt yourself working out for these other losers.
A team as in whoever's picking second?
I don't know. I think that Harper's going to go. Ron Harper's kid's going to go second. Dylan.
Yeah. Well, then that's why I. All right. Well, the Sixers have the third overall pick, and this is the latest workout that he canceled.
He shunned.
He was supposed to fly in today for dinner with the team's front office and a private workout, but canceled yesterday.
Huh.
I don't know, but he's apparently perplexing many NBA teams and officials across the league. So something to keep an eye on ahead of the NBA draft.
I mean, it is interesting. You know, Rutgers canceling, Jerry canceling, a lot of things. You know,
a lot of things very similar.
Jerry canceling or are you canceling on Jerry? Which one?
No, we're just kidding. We had this whole conversation yesterday with Jerry.
I heard all of it.
Yeah.
All right, Boomer never wants to admit. He doesn't want to let anyone just get a little bit on him, you know? Didn't want
of course
him.
Not.
I wasn't wrong. I was right.
I mean, it was the way he answered the question.
Yeah, I know.
That's all I'm saying.
I know. You said it a million times.
I know. And he just would not be accepting of it.
All right, CeeLo. We'll see you next hour. It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio.
You know what, dude? F*** you.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So how about this for a story? Guess it was yesterday the radio host Bubba the Love Sponge, who became popular in Tampa and then did some stuff with SiriusXM, and his name has been in the news years ago, associated with Hulk Hogan, if you remember. And he reported that Hulk Hogan was on his deathbed, and he was in the hospital. He said he got texts from a lot of people that Hulk Hogan was in the hospital, not doing well, and told people were going to say their goodbyes in the hospital. So then the Hogan representatives came out and said, no, he went in, he is in the hospital. He had some back issues and some other things, but he's not on his deathbed. So chill out. He's going to be okay. Now, do you remember though, the Bubba the Love Sponge Hulk Hogan thing from back in the day and why they're not friends anymore? They used to be best friends.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
So Hulk Hogan got filmed having sex with Bubba's wife.
Well, I can understand why that would, make each other angry at one another.
But Bubba wanted it to happen.
Oh, he did?
He did.
Okay.
What the thing that went on, though, was he was filmed, Hulk Hogan, didn't know he was being filmed. The Gawker Media got a hold of the videotape, put it out there, and he ended up suing them and won big money, won the lawsuit, Hulk Hogan. So want to talk about a fractured relationship there.
Oh, there you go.
My goodness.
My sex tape with the Hulk.
Yeah, I mean, that is.
Okay, that's where that came from.
That's got to be what it is, right?
Yeah, so obviously we were talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. That is, I mean.
And I don't remember. I have no recollection of that.
Yeah, well, I had forgotten about it, too, until I saw these two names pop up again. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Why don't you have sex with my wife? We'll film it. But I won't tell you that I'm filming it. What a bizarre situation.
That is definitely a bizarre. You speak about bizarre situations. So Shador Sanders gets pulled over going 101 miles an hour or something.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend's racing after him?
I'm not sure. So they both were pulled over separately.
In two separate vehicles, obviously, yes. And
I don't know who got pulled over first, meaning like I don't know if someone was chasing the other one, if they were racing or what. But yeah, so he was caught speeding at 101 miles an hour. So, I mean, like, I understand just it's speeding. It's at a dangerous speed, and it was 60 mile an hour speed limit, but
sounds like he was on a highway.
Yeah, true. But yes, 101 miles an hour, and I got to find the one I was reading this morning. But this, like, if you're Dion with all the stuff and defending Shador, and Shador's a pro, and this and that, and like something like this happens so soon after camp starts, you're like, oh my god, dude.
But the girlfriend also got pulled over.
I'm almost sure I saw that. Yes, independently of one another. I just got to find it.
Independently of one another, but on the same road at the same time.
Yeah, I wasn't totally prepared to talk about this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm looking now. So to make sure that is correct.
Okay.
So, but I'd have to find that. So in the meantime, let's go to Sal in Kenilworth, New Jersey, who is no longer there. So Mike in Manalapan is next. What's going on, Mike?
Boomer and Geo, you two, window throwing, motorboating, snow blowing, son of a bitches. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Mike, what's happening, brother?
What's going on, man? All this Volpe talk. I mean, come on. The Yankees have been hyping up prospects for years. God forbid that one day they call this shortstop. You know, he's the next coming of Derek Jeter. How about saying he's just like Bucky Dent or Roy Smalley? You know, stop hyping this guy up and put him on the Mount Rushmore. I mean, look at the guy's stats. I've been watching him last night. He's 0-2. You know, he's got to put the ball in play, and he's swinging for the fences. He missed the ball by 6 inches because he's got that uppercut swing. He's another launch and angle guy. Let's launch it and angle it. Dude, you're 5'5" with 2-inch spike heels. What are you trying to do? Hit the ball the right field. But no, they won't do that. You know, at the end of the day, like you were saying earlier before, and the other guy and then another caller was saying, all these prospects are suspects. None of them ever pan out once in a blue moon. And it's the Yankees front office that's missed. You know, the year that Volpe went number one, Gunnar Henderson got drafted in the second round. Who do you want, Gunnar Henderson or Volpe? Volpe's got another year left because now you're hearing all the talk about George Lombard, and the next one after him, I'm going to tell you, is going to be Roderick Arias. And there's this other kid, Rock Riggio, also, left-handed power. But I'm being serious.
Mike, we wouldn't even know what the hell you're talking about.
And then after
about.
That, Gabe Athaus is also, Gabe is also, he is all over the place.
Again, there's just too much stuff, too much information. And it's unfortunate that a local kid like Anthony Volpe, living out his dream, is starting to feel the heat and probably has so for about a good half a year.
All right, so here is the story I read this morning. This is TMZ on Shedeur Sanders, to clear this up. The 23-year-old fifth-round pick and his girlfriend were pulled over in separate cars around 12:24 a.m. when cops stated he was driving 41 miles an hour over the posted speed limit. So there you go. Sanders driving a 2025 Dodge pickup truck and all of that. So, yeah, so I don't know. So him and his girlfriend were both pulled over in separate cars. So you could jump to a conclusion if you'd like. Maybe they're racing, having fun. Maybe one is pissed off at the other and chasing after each other. But, yes, they were both pulled over in separate cars. So how about that?
How about that?
How about that? You know what they were probably arguing about was bringing up George Lombard Jr., and whether or not it was Anthony time Volpe. To move on from Anthony Volpe. And Shedeur Sanders is like, no, we got to give him another chance, God damn it. And the girlfriend was like, no. God, how many times do we have to go through this? They're going to hang on to him like Gary Sanchez. He's like, you know what? That's out of line.
I'm out of here.
I am out of here.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.